Numbers 13, 27 through 33 is where we're going to be at today. God is so good, church people. God is so faithful. Go ahead and give him praise. Give him praise. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And they told him, "We came to the land to which you sent us. It flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. However, the people who dwell in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. And besides, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the Negeb. The Hittites and Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the hill country. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the Jordan. But Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, 'Let us go up at once and occupy it, for we are well able to overcome it.' Then the men who had gone up with him said, 'We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we are.' So they brought to the people of Israel a bad report of the land and they had that they had spied out, saying, 'The land through which we have gone by to spy it out is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people that we saw in it are of great height. And there we saw the Nephilim, the sons of Anak, who came from the Nephilim, and we seemed to ourselves like grasshoppers, and so we seemed to them.'" That's our text for today. And what we got going on, well, let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for your anointing. Thank you that your will is going to be done in this service. Thank you that no one's going to leave here the same way they came in, Lord, but we're going to leave here refreshed and excited and energized and ready to do your work, Lord. That we'll leave here realizing and understanding that it's not about us, Lord, but it's about you. Thank you for giving us the strength and the ability and the desire to be what you've called us to be. We love you and praise you, and your will be done in every single area. In Jesus' wonderful, precious name we pray. Amen. Give the Lord some praise, church. So, I was reading this little area right here a couple weeks ago, and I've been chewing on it ever since I read it a couple weeks ago, and it's really been ministering to me. And this is a timely message, and I mean that this is a message for Victory Life Church, obviously, but this is for us as individuals as well, because I want you guys to understand that I think that a lot of times we miss the blessings that God wants to give us. Because we're going to look at our problems and say, well, our problems are just, they're just too big. Well, let's not forget what kind of God we serve. Okay, we serve a big God. You know, big God, small problems. Big God, small problems. You know, let's magnify the Lord. And I know you got some real deal holy filled problems. I know you got some bad, crazy stuff going on. But when you stack it up to the Most High God, it's nothing. Okay? And that's not just me talking, you know, from some pedestal or something. Man, I'm telling you that we serve a risen Savior who does all things. He loves you. He is completely faithful to you, okay? And he's got good things for us. And sometimes we just flat out miss out on it because we think, well, it's just too much, or God doesn't really care about what I'm going through. Amen? That's all rubbish. Can I get a witness? Okay. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let me get some of this water. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Sandy, did you hear that? Nothing. Okay, guys, I appreciate your patience. We're going to dig into the Word. So we're in Numbers 13. We already talked about that. The Israelites have been blessed. Let's just say that, man. They've been blessed so much. And it's not that they had been super faithful to the Lord. Because they hadn't, man. Their relationship with the Lord is like up and down, up and down. Can anyone relate to that? You know, when everything's going great, well, man, they're fired up about the Lord. But as soon as something doesn't go the way that they want it to go, man, they automatically begin to grumble and gripe and complain. And God has been so good to them. So God gets them out of slavery, gets them out of bondage, sets them free, takes them to the Red Sea. He parts the Red Sea. He destroys their enemies right before their very eyes. God provides for them every single thing that they need. And don't forget that God has made some awesome and amazing promises to these people. God has been so faithful. He has showed them time and time again how mighty he is. Okay, now they get up to the edge of the promised land, and Moses sends out one guy from each tribe. So it's 12 spies. 12 spies are going over to the promised land. They go out there for 40 days. And it's amazing, man. It's wonderful. It's better than they could imagine. These guys have to carry a cluster of grapes between two of them on a pole. And that's not me, taking any liberties, man. That's what they had to do, man. It was just such a fruitful, prosperous place. Now, the problem is there was a bunch of people living in this land that didn't want to give up their land. They had no plans to give up their land. They weren't just going to say, hey, okay, I hear God promised you this land. Why don't you come on in here? I've been working in the garden here. Here's the well. You got to do this. And, everything's fine. There's the grapes. They come every year. No one's going to do that. And they're freaking out, man. But what's going on is they're really doing the opposite of what we are supposed to do. Remember, big God, small problem. This is nothing to God. This is nothing to God. This is just another opportunity for them to see how massively amazing their God is. But for whatever reason, it's just too big for them this time. So we have the report from the 12 spies. Two of them have a good report. Most of them have a horrible report. That's where we're going to be at. And they told him, we came to the land to which you sent us. It flows with milk and honey. And this is its fruit. So they're showing them the grapes and all that. However, the people who dwell in the land are strong. Stronger than the Egyptians? Well, maybe. And the cities are fortified and very large. Walled cities, who wants to deal with a walled city? Very large. And besides, we saw the descendants of Anak there. Okay, there's giants. Okay, that's crazy. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the Negev, the Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the hill country, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the Jordan. So they thoroughly checked out everywhere. It's a beautiful place. It's all we'd ever need. But everywhere we go, man, there's bad dudes, man. There's enemy thugs. There's people that don't like us, that aren't going to like us. Okay? They're not going to move out when we come walking in. But you know what? If they would have just been obedient to the Lord, that's exactly what would have happened. They would have just been demolished, man. Okay? But they are just frozen in fear. And it always blows my mind. Anytime I read something like this in Scripture, it always amazes me because we have the blessing where we can look back and see, man, well, God was so faithful to you guys. Just one chapter before. What is the problem, man? Your food falls down from the sky in front of your tent every single day. You have a pillar of fire by night. Who else has got that going on, man? A cloud in the daytime to keep you from the scorching heat. All these things. And it kind of blows your mind. What's wrong with you knuckleheads? Man, but let's be honest. We get like that. It's so easy for us to forget how God has been so faithful to us. And you say, well, God ain't never been faithful to me. Well, either you're lying or you're not doing your research. Or you got a short memory. Because God has been so faithful to you. When you were out there in the world, man, he watched over you. Okay? Now, look, sometimes you might be able to look back and say, I'm in a big mess, man. I'm in a big mess. And I don't know how this is going to work out. And you might be a baby Christian and you don't have a lot of examples in your own personal life where you know that God did something amazing for you. So maybe you can't pull on that. Okay, but I'll tell you what I did and I'll tell you what we all should do. First get into the Scripture and see where God was faithful to all these other guys. Because none of these people in Scripture, they're not perfect people. You know what I mean? We got Paul the Apostle, man. He was a murderer. He murdered Christians. David was an adulterer and a murderer. Samson, none of these guys are perfect, man. But they made it to the faith chapter, man. all I'm trying to say, man, is if you can't recollect when God has been faithful to you, and I know he has, but maybe you just ain't been counting. Look at where he's been faithful to other people in Scripture. And what I did when I was a baby Christian is I looked back on my parents' house. Because I was there, and I remember a lot of the struggles they went through, And as a kid, you kind of just think, eh, whatever, that's big people problems. You know, whatever. You know, they'll work it out. They'll figure it out. Hey, Dad, can I borrow the car key? You know, that's, you're not really sweating any of that. But, man, when I became, a Christian, dude, I begin to look back. Because I did have the privilege of a godly example from my mother and my father, you know. And I did see where things would get pretty tight, you know. But God always provided. Always provided, man. And I saw miracles, man. When I could care less about seeing a miracle, when I didn't even care to believe in the Lord, I saw all these amazing things. So when I got to that place where I hit rock bottom, and I sure hope you've hit rock bottom, I sure hope you're at that place where you realize you need Jesus. You know, when I hit rock bottom, when my back went out and I was freaking out and I was scared and everything, you know, and I make this jump, I make this decision, and I'm like, God, you know, I need you. I need you. I don't know how I'm going to, you know, feed my kid. I don't know how I'm going to take care of Rachel Jean and all this. And I was like bedridden, man, basically. You know, I was in bad shape. I know it's hard for you to imagine when you see this picture of, you see this hulking statue of masculinity before your eyes, you know. I get it. See what the Lord has done. No, I'm playing. No, man, but I was in bad shape. But, man, God began to point back. Look at where I was, how I was there for your mama and your daddy. You know, how the impossible happened over and over and over again. You know, we can't put our problems up and say, well, this time it's just too much. This time it's just too big. That's completely the wrong way to look at it, you know. I mean, that's just ridiculous, right? We see right here where these cats are like saying, there's giants, man. We ain't ever faced giants before. Hey, man, I don't know about you, but I don't know a lot of people that have walked through on dry ground in the middle of the ocean, you know, in the middle of the sea. I don't know many people that have a pillar of fire that keeps them warm and lights the way to the outhouse at night. You know what I'm saying? I'm saying, man, God is so good. But sometimes we look at our what's in front of us and we're like, ah, that's just too much. Look at your neighbor and say, ah, that's just too much. Let me give you a couple of verses. Luke 1 and verse 37. Look at this. For nothing will be impossible with God. Get that into your repertoire. Get that in there, man. Get that into your quiver, man. Get that into your armament. For nothing is impossible with God. Well, that's easy for you to say. Give him some praise. Give him some praise. Because now, man, I've been around the block enough to where I've seen, man, God wasn't just faithful to my mama and my daddy, you know, but he has been so faithful to me. So in the Psalms, when God says that he'll be faithful to all generations, he's not lying there either. You know what I mean? So, man, we do have a reason to be excited. Even if what looks in front of you looks like the end for all you, or you don't know how you're going to get through what happened to you earlier this year, or all, whatever. I know there's real things going on in our life, man. I know we've been talking about this for years. Years. You know, basically years, man. Trust in God. God will get you through. And he will, and he has, and he ain't going to stop now. Can I get a witness? Thank you, Jesus. For nothing will be impossible with God. Well, maybe because there's like giants. I mean, giants are pretty tough. Maybe giants would be impossible for God to deal with. No, that's a stupid thing. Look at your neighbor and say, that's a stupid thing. No, I'm playing. Philippians 4 and verse 13. Now, these two verses, man, I know it's kind of like Sunday school. But these two verses have helped me out so much, man. When you face the impossible, and my impossible is certainly not your impossible. You know, we all go through different things. But looky here. Number one, my God can do all things. True statement, man. Get it in your heart. I'm serious. My God can do all things. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. So here I am, man. I'm facing not slavery anymore, not the Red Sea, not this or not that, but here I am at the Promised Land, and it's amazing. And see, God really wants to bless us, man. God really wants to bless the VLC. God really wants to bless our homes. But sometimes we're like, it's just too much. It's too big. No, it's not, man. Not for our God. And if you need wisdom, we need to ask God, and he's not going to get mad at you. How do you, Paul, okay, How do you ask God for wisdom? How in the world do you do that? I'll show you real fast. God, I love you, and I need some guidance in this area, okay? And maybe he'll minister to your heart. He certainly does. He certainly does do that, man. Don't think that he don't. You know what I mean? Don't be like a little beach ball being tossed around in the ocean going here and there and everywhere. God will speak to your heart, man. But you know what? The number one way that he's going to speak to you is when you get into this word. I'm serious, man. If you got a question, it's in there. You need guidance. God does not want his people to be all fearful. That's the last thing he wants, man. There's a world that needs us. There's family members that need you guys. You know what I mean? There's people around that need you to buck up and stand on the promises of God. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. If God needs you to do it, he will give you the strength. Isaiah 41:10, man. Get it into your heart. Luke 18 and verse 27. But he said, this is Jesus, this is red letter stuff. But he said, what is impossible with man? You know what? Maybe it is completely impossible, Cindy. Maybe it is, but not to God. Not to God. So we serve a supernatural God. We've been grafted into a supernatural family. Okay? We are a new creation in Christ. Okay? So we can do a lot more than the average Joe Blow. Can I get a witness? But he said, y'all know Joe Blow, right? That cat? But he said, what is impossible with man is possible with God. That's exciting, man. That's exciting, man. Okay. First 45 minutes of the sermon today so far, God can do all things. Why be fearful? Let's go to the next slide. Numbers 13 and verse 30. So, 12 spies return. 10 of them are like, no way, dude. No deal. And they do, they start off on a good note. They're like, yeah, man, it is awesome. I wish you guys could have seen it because I ain't going back over there. You know, it was awesome. Waterfalls, that was nothing but honey. Well, which it really wasn't like that, you know. It was very, you know, it was an amazing place. Because could you imagine the bears? Have you thought about that? The bears that would linger and loiter around honey waterfalls. You wouldn't want to get anywhere near that. Or what about the milk river? Okay, anyways, it was just everything they ever needed, man. The report starts off all right, but it don't take too long. And they're like, yeah, but forget about all that stuff. Because everywhere we go, there's bad dudes. Then you take another step, there's worse dudes. You take another step, really crazy dudes. And then there's like people that live in Munson. And then there's like, it gets worse. It's worse and worse and worse. And there's giants. There's giants, man. You know, it's horrible. We can't do it. Listen, but this is Caleb, man. And I want to encourage you guys, and I'm encouraging me, that we need to be Calebs. We need to be Calebs. You know, Caleb had this, he just saw things differently, man. He was looking at it in the way God sees things. He was thinking about, man, dude, I walked through the Red Sea, man, on dry ground. I saw the Egyptians drown when the last one of my folks got out of the water, man. God collapsed the water on the Egyptians. These guys ain't nothing. It's nothing. He was looking at things differently. He was focusing on his God. But Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once. Caleb is like, he sees how important this is. He sees how quickly this junk spreads. And he understands the urgency of the hour. You can see him like, picture him like climbing on top of a rock or getting on somebody's back. Like, shut your mouth. Shut up. We got this. Remember? But the people didn't want to hear it, man. But you know who gets to go into the promised land? None of these knuckleheads get to go into the promised land. And sometimes we don't get to go to the place where God wants us to go here. We don't get to be in the place where God wants us here because we just won't trust in him. We just won't say, you know, God, you got me. I know you can do this. You know, some of us have let go of our prophecies we received when we were young. We're like, oh, I'm just too old now. Man, you need to get back on track. You know, we need to understand, man, that if God tells you something, if God shows you something in the Word of God, he ain't lying to you. He wants you to stand on it. Amen. Caleb quieted the people before Moses said, let us go up at once. Let's not even begin to focus on how ornery those people are. Let's just go. Grab your pitchfork and let's go, dude. At once and occupy it. For we are all well able to overcome it. Psalm 1. You got Psalm 1? Psalm 1, verses 1 and 3. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. This reminds me, this verse reminds me of, you know, here's old Paul walking down the street, and then I stop to talk to somebody, and then we're having a good old time, and then we sit down and we talk longer, and before you know it, we're just hanging out, man. We're exchanging ideals, because that's what's going on here. You know, blessed is the man. That was a horrible example, but that's exactly what's going on here. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. Be careful who you listen to. Be careful who you listen to. Well, that's why I don't have any friends that don't go to church. That's why I will not ever fellowship or hang out with someone that's not a Christian. It's not saying that. It's totally not saying that. And why don't you have friends that are not Christians? You know what I mean? You know, how are they going to get saved if you don't witness to them? You know what I'm saying? So this is not saying you can't have non-Christian friends. You know, that doesn't mean you do the same things they do, right? Okay? But what it's saying is we got to be careful who witnesses to who. You know, because here's 10 people with a horrible report and it's going to catch like wildfire, man. Everybody's just going to freak out. And it's just going to keep a whole generation of people of going to the place that God has set for them, man. And I don't want that. I don't want that for you guys. I don't want that for me. And I certainly don't want it for my kids, man. I want us to do and be what God's called us to be, no matter how impossible it looks, man. And I've been kind of going through it, man. And things do look impossible in my world, man. But looky here, man. God has told me and God has showed me over and over again, if he needs it to happen, he'll make a way. He gives strength to the weary. I need to just follow him. I need to trust in him. I need to be obedient to his word. I need to hold my peace and let the Lord fight my battles. Give him some praise. I'm going to get one of them hats that got like fans on them that like blow in your face. Blessed is the, do they make those or am I just getting delirious? I believe I will make one of those. Okay, all right, ladies. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked. Verse 2. I didn't mean that. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. Because you're going to get those negative reports. Sister Joan, you're going to get negative reports. Brother Rick, we're going to get negative reports. All you got to do is look at the newspaper in the grocery store or in the Tom Thumb or whatever, or watch the news or just whatever. It's there, dude. People that love you are going to spit all kinds of bad reports on you. They're not even going to mean to do you harm. That's just the world we live in, man. But see, this is what we do. We got to be like Caleb. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. My delight is in the word of God. Brother Larry's delight is in the word of God, man. Let God be true, right? But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. What are we letting soak into our soul, man? You know what I mean? All this negativity, all this, the world's going over. You know what I mean, man? Why don't we just trust in God? Why don't we just trust in God and let God do what God said he's going to do, all right, and not get with the peanut galleries talking about all kinds of doom and gloom stuff. You know what I mean? All right, whatever. Tell the truth, shame the devil. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. See, you do have to put forth an effort, man. You do. You got to stay in the word of God, and you got to make sure that you're going to think on the positive, on the pure, what is good, man. You know, but it does make a difference. Can I get a witness? So this is the result. He is like a tree planted by streams of milk and honey. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And all that he does, he prospers. See, God's looking for a result, man. God says, my people, need to be in my word. My people need to be not so negative and fearful, but stand on my promises. Be obedient to my word, because I need you to be bearing some fruit, man. I need you to be productive for my kingdom, man. You know what I mean? All right, moving forward. Well, that's fine. That's dandy. That's nice. Psalm 42 and verse 5. Sometimes, now this is cool because the psalmist, well, David and the psalmists, they're so very honest, man. You know, that's a beautiful thing about the Bible, man, is it shows the world, it shows everything, warts and all, man. All the bad stuff that's going on. All how evil people can be when we get our eyes off of the Lord. How selfish, self-centered we can be. But in the Psalms, they're so amazing because, you know, these guys can be going through a horrible time. Absolutely horrible, crazy situation, man. You know, but as they cry out before the Lord, something begins to happen and it's written down before us, man. It's not like Saul has decided to give up the chase against David. You know, David's hiding in the cave. But as he cries out before the Lord, man, God gives him peace. God gives him joy. That's what I'm saying, man. We got to focus on God and his goodness and his promises. So the psalmist right here, he's saying, I'm kind of depressed, man. I'm pretty sad right now. I'm brokenhearted. But then he's like, I don't know why. I don't know why. You ever felt like that? Man, this is not a good day for me. I don't know why. It's just one of them days. But see, this guy's saying, oh, man, why am I so depressed, man? I belong to God. Everything, even though it doesn't look like everything's okay, everything's completely okay because I belong to the Most High God. Why are you cast down, oh, my soul? Sometimes we have to encourage ourselves through the Word of God. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? You ever felt like that? I've felt like that. Look what the psalmist is saying. Why are you acting this way? Why do you feel this way? Look over here. Hope in God. Now, biblical hope is different than hope, our hope. Like, hey, I hope the Mets go to the World Series or whatever, you know. Whatever. You know, how are the Cubbies doing? I'm not saying that. Hope is like, biblical hope is like a knowing. I know that my God is faithful. So the psalmist is like, I don't know why I'm so just messed up today. Oh, that's right. Let me put my hope back in God. I shall again praise him, my salvation. Instead of going this way, let me go the right way. Let me get my focus back on God. Let me get my focus back on the cross and what's been done for me and how faithful he is so I can get out there and do what God's called me to do. Can I get a witness? Let's go to the next slide. Horrible, horrible report, I tell you, but not from Joshua and Caleb. Numbers 13 and verse 31. Then the men who had gone up with him said, we're not, Caleb gets up. Cindy, Caleb gets up. He's like, you guys, we can do it. And then all these other knuckleheads start screaming again. No, it's impossible. I don't know what you were looking at, man. But you didn't see what we saw. Then the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we are. Their report is worse than the last report they gave. The last report, even it had a little bit of good stuff at first, you know, but then it got super negative. There's nothing positive about this. They want Caleb to shut up. Don't listen to that guy. Then the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we are. Well, so are the Egyptians, man. So they brought to the people of Israel a bad report of the land. That's why we got to be careful who we listen to. That they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone to spy it out. Maybe I should try and read that again. The land through which we have gone to spy it out, it's a land that devours its inhabitants. No more, it's, oh man, look at these grapes. No more, it's land flowing, milk and honey. It's like that ground, man, it's got Venus fly traps that'll just eat you in half. I mean, he's like, it's, I'm not going, we're not going. I'm not taking my kids over there, uh-uh. It's a land that devours its inhabitants and all the people that we saw in it are of great height. Like, no, no, Caleb, you don't know what you're saying. 2 Corinthians 2 and 11, speeding up a little bit. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11. I do believe you have it. Yeah, you got it. This is all a trick from the devil, man. Plain and simple, man. It's easy for us to see. God wants to bless them. God has set this land aside for them. God has people farming it for them, getting the grapes ready for them, had already dug the wells, had already built them houses and everything. You know what I mean? All they got to do is trust God, be obedient to God. You know what I mean? God's going to do the heavy lifting. Whatever's impossible in your world, God's going to do the heavy lifting. He's going to do what you can't do. You got to do what you can do. All right, you got to be obedient to the scripture. You got to. But God's going to do the impossible. Can I get a witness? Give him some praise. So that we would not be outwitted by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his designs. So let's be aware of the wiles, the crazy schemes of the devil. It's easy for us to read scripture and be like, that's a trap. It's a trap. That's a trap. Don't go down that way, man. You need to trust in God. You're going to miss a big blessing, man, if you don't trust in God. Okay? But look at our own life, man. We can be setting ourselves up for disaster by listening to the devil, man. No one loves you. No one cares about you. Fill in the blank. Whatever lie works on you, he's going to do that till it don't work no more. You know what I mean? If you don't get any ground with you, he's going to come back, do a report, try and come in from another angle. You know, but see, we got to be, you know, well, just like it says, man, we got to be sober. We got to be vigilant. Got to understand that Satan does not want you to live in that place physically or mentally, geographically that God has for you. He doesn't want you to be blessed. He doesn't want you to encourage other people. Amen. So 2 Corinthians 2 and 11, we got to be wise so that we would not be outwitted by Satan. You want to be outwitted by Satan? I don't want to be outwitted by Satan. So that we would not be outwitted by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his designs. We got to understand, folks, man, Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what he does. Business is usually pretty good for him, man. He gets over a lot of stuff on us, man, because we get weak, man. We get weak. We get our eyes off of God. You know, we can take that land. We can take VLC to the next level that God has for it, man. We can take our family to the place God has for it. I'm just being truthful, okay? Let's get back to our text, Numbers 13 and verse 33. These guys are still griping. Caleb barely got one verse out before these guys just start griping again. And there we saw the Nephilim, the sons of Anak, who came from the Nephilim. We saw giants, man, big giants, man. And we seemed to ourselves like grasshoppers, and so we seemed to them. That's very important right there. I know we've been talking for a long time. It's been a weird service. We're going long. But it's very important how we see ourselves, man. You know, I'm not talking about being prideful, but I'm talking about taking pride in our Lord. You know what I mean? Because I can do all things through Christ. I'm a king's kid. You know what I mean? I'm royalty. I belong to the Most High God. I've been grafted into a special family. I'm a new creation in Christ. You know what I'm saying? I'm God's masterpiece. I'm God's work of art, man. That's what the Christian is, man. We're something special. Okay? So these guys just keep, they're just digging a hole deeper for themselves, and this rubbish is going to spread throughout the whole camp, man. They're talking about millions of people are about to start freaking out. We come all this way. They want to stone Moses and stone Aaron. We should have just died in Egypt, man. Why'd God have to bring us out all the way out here? I know you guys have said things like this before. Thought about it. You know, I don't know why God brought me all the way out here just to leave me now. Well, how about because he didn't leave you, man? You're being a little baby, right? I mean, let's be honest, man. We get so childish sometimes, man, because things ain't going our way. I know some of us got some real deal problems, some big stuff, man, but God is faithful, okay? He's not going to leave you on the side of the road now. Oh, whoa, Gabriel, you didn't, I forgot. There was giants over here. Oh, man. All right. I guess we should have left him in Egypt. No, he doesn't do that, man. He's not going to leave us. He's not going to forsake us. He's faithful even when we're faithless. Okay. And there we saw the Nephilim. We are like grasshoppers, and so we seem to them. Satan wants you to perceive yourself as a big, fat, dumb loser, man. Anytime you begin to think or talk like that, he's going to be right there in agreement with you. Yeah, you are pretty dumb. Yeah, I don't know anybody likes you. Matter of fact, I don't think anybody does. Just rebuke that nonsense, okay? Romans 8 and verse 37. Because this is where it's at right here. Romans 8 and verse 37. No, in all these things, don't care about no giants, man. I don't care if they're 11 feet tall, 40 feet tall, 65 feet tall. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, man. I'm talking about the Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's my God, man. That's my God. Not some fake dead dude. Not some dude that's buried in, you know, his bones are rotten somewhere in some cave somewhere. No, I serve a living God. I serve the one true God. Hate it for you, dude, but my God keeps his word. Come on over to this side, bro. Run into the light. Romans 8 and verse 37. Knowing all the... Man, Poltergeist was a scary movie. That junk was scary. The first movie I saw at Dan and Larry's house on VHS, that junk freaked me out. I'm still not sure if that girl was supposed to run into the light or not go into it. It doesn't matter. We're talking about real stuff right here, okay? And there we saw the Nephilim, the sons of Anak. Doesn't matter. Romans 8 and verse 37. Listen. That was all my fault, but just listen. Romans 8 and verse 37. No. In all these things, whatever it is, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. I am more than a conqueror. Yeah, give him some praise, seriously. I am more than a conqueror. I'm not what my grandma whispered in my ear, you know. I'm just saying, you know, maybe your grandma whispered foul things in your ear while you were sleeping. I don't know. It doesn't matter. I'm who God says that I am. See, I'm losing everybody. I'm sorry. Let's just wrap things up. Can we all agree on that? And there we saw the Nephilim, giants in the land. Numbers 14. Then all the congregation raised a loud cry. They're not raising a loud cry. They're like, yeah, I'm with Caleb, dude. Joshua, let's do this. Woo-hoo! They're not doing that at all, man. Their hearts got crushed. They're like, let me get this straight, man. I just got delivered from slavery. I just got my pockets fat from Egyptian wealth. I just went through the Red Sea. I've been eating this manna. Been warm at night by this fire. Got everything I need. And now these guys, they say, this is all impossible, man. Game over, dude. Game over. Everything's horrible. They're like, okay, we need to vote a new leader. We need to go back to Egypt. It's a horrible idea. That's the craziest thing I've ever heard. But that's what we do. We're like, man, I was better off. I had more friends. I was better off. Well, back before I loved Jesus, before I got involved in all this stuff, everything was so much better. What are you talking about, man? You were a slave. Yeah, but I got to eat leeks and garlics and whatever, all that. Yeah, man, if you were to steal a little bit off of the tray or something, you know, it's not like, they didn't even get days off. But that's how the world looks to us, man. You know, like, man, I had a lot better off back then, the good old days. They wasn't good old days, dude. You were in bondage. You know, and God just wants you to be set free. He wants you to take you to a next level. You know, can I get a witness? Then all the congregation raised a loud cry, and the people wept that night. Can you imagine what that sounded like? Could you imagine how Moses felt? You know, sitting there like, I can't even sleep because millions of people won't stop crying. A loud cry all night long. Oh, my gosh. And all the people of Israel grumbled. When they ain't crying, they're grumbling. It's like, I'm not saying. And all the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The whole congregation said to them, would that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would that we have died in the wilderness. Well, that's the only two places you've been. But we're trying to take you to the promised land, trying to get you to the place that I laid aside for you. Yeah, there's warfare, okay, but I'm going to be with you. Anyways, I know in our hearts, man, that sometimes we just give up. We give up because it's impossible, or the fight. We just get tired of fighting, man. You know? Hey, man, we just got to hold our peace, let the Lord fight our battles. We got to be obedient to what the Word of God says. You know what I mean? Sometimes we've just been fighting the wrong way. You know, we've been fighting in our own power. But I'm saying God wants to take us all to another level. God wants to bless us in ways we cannot imagine. And it's not just some feel-good, happy, fun message, man. I know this in my heart. God wants to bless all of us. You know, we just think, well, I'm up to a stone wall. This is as far as I can go. Man, ain't nothing. Ain't nothing to God. Can I get a witness? Thank you, Jesus. Give him some praise.